Well, praise the Lord. It's good to worship, isn't it? So refreshing, so encouraging to worship the Lord. We're going to take up the offering in a few minutes, but before we do, I just want to share some scriptures about giving to the Lord and how God wants us to be blessed in our relationship with Him and by giving to Him. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and just share a few verses with you about giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Amen. Amen. God loves cheerful givers. It's good to be joyful in our giving. It's good to celebrate that we're able to give to the Lord. Amen? Amen. We're able to give to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's amazing. I believe God sees every offering you give. He sees every single offering you bring. And so the Bible is encouraging us to be cheerful in our giving, because this pleases the Lord, not reluctantly or out of compulsion. He says here, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Amen. Now, this is an amazing verse, and I'm going to have a look at it again, because I really want you to take it in this morning. Is that when we give to the Lord, God blesses us, and this is how He blesses us. And verse 8 says, listen carefully what it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Amen. So that is a promise from the Word of God, is that God is going to bless you abundantly as you give to Him cheerfully, as you give to the Lord. He is able to make all grace abound to you. The Bible says, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread." We do not need to be beggars, because our Father in heaven, He has owns all the cattle on the hills. He owns all the silver. He owns all the gold. It doesn't belong to the billionaires. It belongs to the Lord. Amen? They're just trying to steal it for a while. They're just trying to borrow it for a while. But all the silver and the gold is the Lord's. And that's why we need to encourage ourselves as we give to the Lord. The Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." So God is talking about increase. He's talking about blessing. He's talking about doing amazing things that, you know, if God can provide for the prophet during the season of testing in the time of the Bible, when it says that there was a great famine in the land, but God provided for the prophet. He took him to the brook Cherith. He brought him bread and meat every day. Now, whoever would have thought, going out in the desert into a brook, that you have got bread and meat every day? God can do it. He brought the ravens, and they brought him the bread and the food and the meat every day. And when that the brook ran out of water, then he went to the widow at Zarephath, and God provided further again. And she was in her last meal, just a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. She's going to make a few bread cakes for her and her son, and then she was going to die. But the prophet said, "Give me the meal." It seems crazy, doesn't it? He said, "Give me this food." And she gave it to him. As she did that, God filled up the pot of oil, and He filled up the pot of flour. You see, when we give to the Lord and we give to the people of God, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, you will abound in every area. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Can you say amen to that? We're going to pray a blessing over our giving today. We're going to pray a blessing upon this particular verse, verse 8. We're going to bring it to the Lord now, because God loves a cheerful giver. And we're going to bring this to the Lord, and we're going to ask God to bless us this morning. Father, your word says that you are able to bless us. You're able, Father, to make all grace abound to us, so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. And I pray, Father, this morning as we bring these gifts, as we bring these offerings into your house, as we give to you, Lord, that, Father, we will have all that we need at all times, in every area of our lives, that we will superabound in every area. I pray for those who give, Lord, that they will know the goodness of God and the blessing of God upon their finances, upon their spiritual lives, upon their social lives, upon every area, because your word says they will abound in every area in all times. We will abound, Lord, in all areas. May we abound in our work, Lord. May we abound in our homes. May we abound in our families. May we just superabound with your grace in all these areas. So, Father, as we give now to you, I just pray your abundance upon your people. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to pass the basket round, and we're just going to give a nice silent, Miriam, if we can start with you. Thank you. We're not going to sing or anything. We're just going to bring our gifts to the Lord, and we're just going to give a blessing to him and say thank you to the Lord. As we do that, if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Praise God. You know, our nation really needs our prayers at this time. You know, what happened this last week was a terrible tragedy, wasn't it? Was it Wednesday? And it was tragic, you know, what happened. Thank you. And our nation really needs our prayers at this time. So continue to pray for Great Britain. You know what? God can use any situation in any circumstance and to turn it around so that people can start to seek him. We pray through this tragedy in London on Westminster Bridge that God will turn it around. You know what? The enemy designed for evil, God can turn it around. I think it's wonderful that Theresa May was able to say, "My thoughts and prayers are with you." Yeah. That, thank God for her. She is a vicar's daughter. Continue to pray for Theresa May, that she will be a godly woman and a godly testimony in our nation. And I noticed that Kate Middleton said the same, "My thoughts and prayers are with you." So we thank God for those people who are able to say, we're including God in our blessing. Amen. Amen. So continue to pray for those. Many people didn't say prayers. They say, "Our thoughts are with you." But thank God for those who said thoughts and prayers. So we want to continue to pray for our leaders in this great nation. So let's just give our offering now to the Lord. Father, we thank you for these gifts, and we present them to your throne of grace. We thank you for these offerings, and Father, we pray that you will use them, Lord, fitly, Lord, as you see fit, Lord, that they will be blessed by you, as you bless the loaves and fishes, that you will, Father, bless the finances we have given for your kingdom, Lord, and for your glory, and for all those who have given, and Father, a great blessing will come upon them, and riches will come upon them. We thank you, Father, as we are giving to you today, we're storing up true riches in heaven as well. So we thank you for those riches we've already stored up by giving today. And I just thank you, Father, for every offering and every gift in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to read Psalm 27, and this is one of my favorite psalms. I have preached from it quite a few times. And we'll see how the Lord leads us. We're going to start here and then see how he guides us today. So this is the Psalm of David. And it's quite fitting in light of what's happened. So we could just bear in mind with what's happened in our nation this last week. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh. When my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. That's quite something, isn't it? That David is saying, even though an army comes against me, I'm not even going to be worried. I'm not even going to be fearful. Sometimes if we even just have one person come against us, we become fearful. But David is saying, I'm not even fearful if a whole army comes against me, because I know the Lord is on my side. He's going to look after me. That's awesome faith, isn't it? Then he goes on to say this, one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. We've done that today, haven't we? We brought shouts into the house of the Lord. You know what? It's good to shout to the Lord. It's good to shout in church. Amen. You know, some churches you go to, you kind of feel, oh, we've got to whisper, we've got to be reverent. Where's the shouting? You know, it says in the Bible, you know, at his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. Some of those churches need to get liberated. Amen. They need to get set free from themselves. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Praise God, we can make music to him. New songs. I will sing a new song, the psalmist said. The verse 7 says, hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says, if you seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. I love those last few verses where he says, the last few words, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That involves patience. You know, so often we're so busy. We're running around here, there, helter, skelter. It's like we're running around. It's just like crazy. Some of our lives are so busy. And the Bible commands us to wait for the Lord. That involves patience. It involves taking time out to wait for God and to seek him. As David says here in the Psalms, he says, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Amen. You see, every now and again, your heart tells you to do things. Your heart may tell you to phone somebody. Your heart may tell you, you need to go and see that person. You need to go and do such and such a thing. Your heart instructs you and shows you. Your heart, your inner self, tells you certain things. And there is one thing that your inner self tells you to do, is to seek the face of God. Every now and again, your heart's going to say, Keith, you need to seek God. Your heart's going to speak to you and say, Keith, you need to get down and seek the Lord. You need to call on the Lord. And so when we obey that voice and our heart begins to speak to us, then we begin to seek the Lord. And I love what David then answers the question. He says, your face, Lord, I will seek. It's not an option for us as Christians, friends, to pray and seek the Lord. It's not an option for us to seek the Lord, as we've been looking over the last number of weeks in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where he says, I will prosper you, I have a future, I have a hope for you. But most people stop there, but it goes on to say that you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. And this is what God wants us to do, is to seek him with all our heart. It's time to stop playing church. Amen? It's time just to stop just playing church and get really serious about Jesus, because being a Christian is not about just going to church. That's such a small amount. Being a Christian is seeking God, is calling on his name. Being a Christian means doing the works of God. Being a Christian is a 24/7 thing, because the Lord is with us all the time. Amen. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, the Bible says where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. So you can have church at home. You can have church here. You can have church with other believers. You can pray together. That's church. But what really matters is that you carry the presence of God everywhere you go. And the presence of God it has everything that you need. When the Lord is in your life, when the Holy Spirit is in your life, He will provide you with everything that you need. Because sometimes we just think that we don't have enough. Sometimes we think that we don't have enough power. Sometimes we don't think we've got enough as Christians. And yet all the time, God is telling us we've got enough in Him. He is everything we need. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He provided in the past, He'll provide today, and He'll provide in the future. Amen? Our sins are forgiven in the past, they're forgiven today, and they're forgiven in the future. All our sins have been dealt with as far as the east is to the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord. He forgives all our sins. And in the book of Peter, He tells us here, and 2 Peter chapter 1, I was just looking at it again this week. I always go back to this passage because it's such a brilliant passage about God's provision. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm using a different Bible today, so I'm kind of flicking through different pages here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, you need to listen to this really carefully, and you need to meditate upon this because it's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. And it says this here, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God is telling us in these two verses that His divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. God's divine power is in you. Amen? God's divine power is in every Christian. Because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be able to live the life that God wants us to live. He wants us to overcome sin. He wants us to overcome temptation. He wants us to be strong and mighty in Him. As the book of Ephesians tells us, be strong in the Lord. Amen? And in His mighty power, put on the full armor of God. So God is encouraging us through His word. His divine power, His awesome power has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of Him. You see, if we don't read the Word, we're not going to know what God has done for us. That's why we need to study the Scriptures. The Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because every day they studied the Scriptures to see what Paul was saying, whether it was true or not. God wants us to read the Word of God. He wants us to meditate on the Word of God. He wants us to speak the Word. He wants the Word to become a part of our lives. And that knowledge will help you to understand this divine power that is within us. You see, the Apostle Paul says, do you not know that Christ Jesus is in you? Do you not know that the Holy Spirit is in you? Amen? He's telling the church, he says, don't you realize that God is in you? Now that's incredible for us as Christians to know that God is in us. And His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. So it's so important that we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of 2 Peter, he tells us, therefore, grow. But verse 18 of chapter 3 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, we've got to grow in grace, but we've also got to grow in knowledge. That's why we can't just take a Bible verse a day and think that will be sufficient. It's more than that. It's meditating on that verse. It's chewing over that verse. We could spend a whole week just meditating on these few verses. It's allowing the Word of God to become a part of us so that God's Word becomes alive in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Word is dynamic. It's a life-giving Word. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that God's Word is alive. and it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, in John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Amen? And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. You see, friends, we need to consume the Word. We need to meditate on the Word. We need to feed on the Word. You could spend the whole day just meditating on one verse. You don't have to read, you know, the whole books of the Bible. You could just take that one verse and meditate and chew on it so it becomes a part of your life. And so, don't we realize that God is in us? Don't we realize that Christ is in us? And His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And then verse 4 says, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises. Amen? So what are the promises of God? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a good one. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says in the book of Colossians or Philippians, he tells us in one of those epistles, he says, be imitators of God. Be just like God. Jesus put it like this. He said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be like God. Be like Jesus. If we want to be a true Christian, we've got to do the works of God. We've got to do the things that Jesus wants us to do. He's calling us all into the ministry. Amen. We're all in the ministry. Whether you've only been a Christian a few months or you've been a Christian 20 years, we're all here to serve the Lord. And God has called us to be a part of His great kingdom. And so we've got to get a hold of these very great and precious promises, because through the promises we participate in the divine nature. Do you know there are over 4,000 promises in the Bible? That's a lot of promises. How many do you know? Maybe 3 or 4, 5 or 6. Well, there's another few thousand to go. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So you've got to claim the promises. You've got to say, Lord, what promise have you given me? The Bible says if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. The Bible tells us that the promises are conditional. So if you do this, I will do this. If you knock, the door will be opened. If you seek, you'll find. And so all of these promises are here for our benefit. The amazing thing is we don't make use of the promises. It's like they sit in our Bible month after month, year after year. And we're not searching, because I think somebody said to me, it's only the gold nuggets that are found deep in the earth. Isn't that right? They're found deep in the earth. You can't find gold nuggets on the surface. Otherwise, everybody would be picking them up. You find dust and stones on the surface. But you've got to dig deep if you want some of the promises of God. So that's why the Bible encourages us to meditate on the Word of God day and night. And that takes some discipline, doesn't it? To meditate on God's Word. To think about the Scriptures. They reckon we have anything from 30,000 to 50,000 thoughts a day. So what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the Word? Or are you just thinking about your life and your problems and everything? Begin to change your thinking. So this is really important. The Bible says we should renew our minds. Amen? We need to renew our thoughts, renew our minds, so that we have the mind of Christ. And the Bible says, you have the mind of Christ. That's good news. There's another promise. You have the mind of Christ. And we need to receive that. See ourselves as God sees us. The Bible says that you are the sons of God. Amen? And what you shall be has not yet been revealed, but one day you will be like Jesus. Praise God. You put on a glorified body, you will look amazing. You will look incredible. When you get to heaven, people go, wow, check that guy out. Look at that woman of God. You will have a glorified body. People will just be amazed at how you look. And these are things the Bible tells us about. That which is mortal will put on immortality. Amen? That which is earthly will put on a spiritual body. And forever, you will have that body for all eternity. The Bible says you will receive the crown of righteousness. Crown of splendor. A crown of glory. Wow, you look like a king. That's amazing, isn't it? But we don't realize we are already kings. We are already sons of God. We are already ambassadors for the Lord. It's like somehow or other we're living like paupers when God is saying, you are my ambassadors. You are my children. You are my sons. I want you to be like God. That's amazing, isn't it? God wants you to be like him by showing his kindness, his love, by showing his power, by praying for the sick, by ministering to the brokenhearted and praying for those people around you that they will experience the love of God. And so we need to see ourselves how the Bible tells us how we are. How do you see yourself? Oh, well, I see my sin, I see my problems, I see my weaknesses. And actually, for a lot of us, our feelings just get us down, don't they? Sometimes our feelings can pull us down. But the Bible says we need to see ourselves how God sees us. And the Bible says you are a son of God. You're a child of the King. Well, Jesus is the King of Kings. So you must be a king today. And the Bible says you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So we need to see ourselves as the Bible sees us and receive this inheritance. Because as we meditate on the scriptures, we begin to change. We begin to realize who we are. And we begin to realize what we have received in Christ. Amen. So his divine power has given you everything you need. So you say, oh, well, I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough of that. I don't have enough of it. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. God will provide healing. Amen. God will provide deliverance. God will provide financial blessings. You know, if Jesus could get 2 gold coins out of the fish's mouth, he can get money to you. God is a good provider. He's a generous God. So we keep looking to the Lord. Amen. We keep looking to Jesus. We set our hearts and minds on things above. We do not look to the things of the earth. It's important that we begin to change our thinking, transform our thinking. We begin to think the thoughts of heaven. The Bible says that, you know, we are to know the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth, just like it is in heaven. Lord, let your kingdom come into my life, just like it is in heaven. Let the thoughts that are in heaven be my thoughts. Let your kingdom, your provision, your will that's going on in heaven, let it be my portion. Amen. Everything that's heavenly, everything that's in heaven, every good thing that's in heaven, God wants to bring down to the earth. And how does he bring it? He brings it through prayer. He brings it through his word. He brings it through the principles of his word and his kingdom. He wants to bring in the kingdom of God. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. God wants to bring healing onto the earth. And he wants to use us and anoint us with the Holy Spirit to bring that healing. So what do we need to do, friends? We need to change our thinking. We looked at this a few weeks ago, but I want us to have a look at it again. It's Colossians and chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And this is one of the most amazing chapters that we could meditate on. Colossians chapter 3. And the Bible is encouraging us to change our thinking. Change your thinking. Can you say that this morning? Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Colossians chapter 3. Here we read verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. You see, God is encouraging us here. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says that we have been raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms. Amen. We are seated with Christ, far above all authority. So Satan is under your feet. Amen. You've been raised with Christ. You've been seated with Him in the heavenly realms. You're seated with the Lord Himself. Isn't that amazing that God would call us up there to be seated with Him? Because He is the head and we are the body. See, if the church really knew who they were, and Paul is saying, don't you realize that God is in you? Don't you realize the Holy Spirit is in you? You see, we are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. We're seated with Him in the spiritual realm, of high above all authority, power, and dominion. You see, you don't realize who you are. You don't realize who you are in Christ. We don't realize the power that we have in Jesus Christ, the power to raise the dead. Jesus said to the disciples, go and raise the dead. Go and heal the sick. Go and cleanse the lepers. But in order to do these things, we need faith. Amen. And where does faith come from? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you need to listen to the Word. Listen to preaching. Read the Scriptures. Listen to the Word every day. Listen to the Word. Meditate on the Word. Put the Bible on CD or put it on your Bluetooth headphones. Listen to the Scriptures so that you can get more faith and it can grow in your hearts. And so the Bible says, since then you have been raised. You have been raised with Jesus Christ. Then He says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. Did you know that you died? Amen. When you accepted Jesus Christ and you asked Him to forgive you and He came into your life, He didn't just change a few things around. He didn't just kind of better you a little bit. You actually died. Because when He was crucified, you were crucified. When He was buried, you were buried. When He rose again, you rose again. So the old self is gone. The old you has gone. You died and your old life is gone. That's why it says here, you used to live in these ways, but you no longer live in these ways because now, through the Holy Spirit, you have a new life. And that's why He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Praise God. The old is gone. Praise God. The old has gone. Can you say, the old has gone? Amen. And the new has come. The new has come. You used to be a caterpillar. Now you're a butterfly. Amen. You used to be crawling around in the dirt. Now you're flying with eagles. Praise God. Cause you to fly with Him. The old is gone, friends. The Bible says your sins have gone. Your old ways and habits have gone. Maybe we need a little bit of work on us from time to time, but the old is gone. The Bible says in Philippians, Paul says, forgetting that which is behind. Let's move on towards what is ahead. Forget those things that are in the past. Forget the failings you had. Forget the mistakes you made. Forget about, stop rehearsing all the bad stuff. Amen. Sometimes the devil wants us to rehearse all the stuff that we did in the past, but that person is now dead. That person has been buried. And you have a new life. That old person is gone. Those sins have gone. Those habits have gone. The old life is gone. He says here, but if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Praise God. You're a new person. You're a completely new person. If you saw me before I was a Christian, you think, oh, he's not the same person. That's because I'm not. You know, my old life is gone. I am a new person in Jesus Christ. I could not get up in front of people and preach like this, the old person. God gave me the ability to preach. God gave me the boldness to pray and to preach and to do the things of God. He will change your life. And so the Bible says we go from glory to glory. Amen. And we go from strength to strength. That doesn't mean that you won't have some hard times, that you won't have some difficulties. Of course you will. You'll face some trials and temptations and difficulties in the Christian life. But thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who always causes us to triumph. God will give you victory on every side. You know, whenever David and his mighty men went into battle, they had victory on every side. All what God did through David's military actions, they had victory on every side. The Bible says He gives me victory on every side. That's in front and behind and the sides and above and beneath. He gives me victory on every side. All around you, there's victory. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who always causes us to triumph in victory. Can you say that this morning? He always causes me to triumph in victory. You might face some hard times. You might face some temptations. You might face some difficult times, friend. But friend, you are destined for victory. You are destined for God's glory. You're destined to shine for Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that through our God we shall do valiantly. Through our God we will overcome every obstacle. We will overcome all of these negative things. And God will give us the power. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. Can you say amen? And so if God is for us, who can be against us? If the Lord is for you, and He is, friend, who can be against you? Even though I am surrounded by an army, David says, I will not fear. I'll not be afraid of different types of people coming against me. I'll not be afraid of those who oppose me. Why? Because my strength and my trust is in the Lord. When people come up against us with a gun, or they come against us to attack us, I will not fear. Because fear is something that you let in. Don't let it in. You see, God will give you faith to gird up the loins of your mind, so that when you're faced with that, you will say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. Heard a wonderful testimony from Smith Wigglesworth, and he'd gone out and he was just sharing the gospel, and he said, I came near this hotel and these two guys came out on this motorbike. He said they were just the epitome of evil. And they came, they were swearing at me, they were cursing at me. He said it was just like really something out of the pit. And he just said, in the name of Jesus, go back to your den. And they just went right back to where they came from. That's power. That's power. I remember a lady saying that these people came to attack her, and she just, I think they had a gun. She said, in the name of Jesus, and I think they dropped the gun, they just ran away. The power of the name of Jesus. You know, you need to understand who you are in Jesus Christ. You need to understand the power that Christ is in you. Christ is in you. The hope of glory, Christ in you. So you don't need to be afraid of anybody. Amen. You don't need to be discouraged. You don't need to be afraid of those people who come against you. So through our God, we shall do valiantly. Through our God, we will overcome. Don't be afraid. The Bible says 365 times, fear not. So don't be afraid of those people. Don't be afraid of those people that come against you. You will have people come against you. Jesus had it. They came against Jesus. They tried to throw him over the cliff, and he just walked through them. God can do it, friends. He's done amazing things like that. People can come against you. They can just fall down. I remember Jonathan Brain said he went to Stonehenge, and he goes every year as a testimony for the Lord, and all these people just ran at him. And suddenly they hit a brick wall and they all stopped. See, God can put a shield around you. You've got to understand the Lord is a great protector. He can put the shield of faith around you and nothing can harm you. By no means shall anything hurt you. I give you power and authority over all the enemy. Praise God. Where is the enemy? Under our feet. You see, big God, small devil. Amen. Big God, the Almighty. He fills the whole universe. Small devil. He's limited to a body. He's limited to a fallen angelic body. Big God. Small devil. What the devil's trying to do is magnify himself in your mind. Say how big he is. No. Big God. Small devil. Our God is mighty. Our God is able. He's got the power to overcome Satan. He's got the power. One day he'll throw him into the lake of fire. One day he will overcome him completely. Right now, God has given the devil some freedom. That is all part of God's plan. But one day, the enemy of our souls, will be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. And that will be an amazing day. But in the meantime, we've got to be vigilant. We've got to be strong. We've got to be full of faith. We've got to keep the faith, friends. We've got to keep the faith. Paul said, I have kept the faith. I've run the race. I've fought the fight. We've got to do these things in the meantime. Friends, build yourselves up spiritually. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself praying in tongues, spending time in the Word, spending time with other Christians, encouraging them, and building yourself up in the things of God, and sharpening your sword. Amen? Get your sword so sharp. When the enemy comes against you, you just bring that sword out, and you slay the enemy. You see, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Let it come out of your mouth. Let the word come out of your mouth. Don't try to resolve things just with human thinking. Resolve it with the word of God. Speak the word only, and your servant shall be healed. Just speak the word into your life. Speak the word into your family. God is working, friends. Amen? God is answering our prayers. God is moving in our nation. God is moving. God is doing amazing things that we have not seen. And we don't know. Suddenly, the Lord may just come and just do amazing, even more amazing things. Suddenly, God may just break out in power. Suddenly, God may just do incredible things in your life. Suddenly, God may just manifest his power and start saving your family, start saving your neighbors. And friends, we've got to see that happen in our day. Amen? We've got to see people won for the Lord. We've got to see people come into the kingdom of God. We've got to pray for our neighbors that the Lord will sweep across this nation, that a mighty tidal wave, that a mighty tsunami of his presence will hit this nation. Can you say amen? Because God has promised it through the prophetic word. He has promised there's a great move of God coming to this nation. So what do we do in the meantime? We get busy. Amen. We get busy with the work of the Lord. We get busy because, friends, we've got to live for eternity. We've got to live for the Lord. We've got to live for the kingdom of God. And the Lord is coming soon. So what do? We occupy. We fight. We get busy with the kingdom of God. We get busy and we work for the Lord. We work for eternity. God is recording everything he sees you do. Everything you're doing for him, he's recording it. 1 Corinthians 15:56. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. God's going to reward you, friend. And the Bible says that do not give up. For at the right time, you're going to reap a harvest. So in the meantime, we occupy. We are busy with the work of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Praise the Lord for his word. Father, we want to thank you today for your word. We want to thank you for the encouragement of the scriptures. We want to thank you that your word is truth. Your word is power. Lord, your word is light. It brings understanding to us. Father, I want to thank you today for the word of God in our hearts. Lord, Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. I pray for each one of us that the word of God will dwell in us richly. That we not just talk about the weather, we not just talk about the football or the news, but we talk about the things of God and encourage one another in the scriptures, Father. I pray your word will abound here in this church. I pray your word will abound in your people. I pray, Father, you'll change us from glory to glory. And from strength to strength. I thank you, Father. I thank you for your people today, for the word that's been spoken. I pray the enemy will not steal the word in Jesus' name. I pray you will guard and protect your word in our hearts, Lord. Let it grow into a mighty tree, Lord. Let these seeds today grow into a mighty tree. Father, bless the word in us. Lord, I pray that your word will be rich in us. Father, I pray that you will give us a blessed day in your presence, Lord. I pray, Father, we will, Lord, be blessed of the Lord today and throughout this week. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in our lives and in our nation in these last days. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you all the honor. And thank you for everyone here today, Father. May we abound in the work of the Lord. We ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening so well today. Just a couple of announcements before we finish up. Just to let you know, we are planning a youth cafe here at the back of the church, in this room at the back here. And we're just planning and preparing towards it. We had a wonderful fundraiser that Miriam organized, a jumble sale here. And you know what? We raised nearly £1,000. Isn't that incredible? Thank you, Lord. That is awesome. We haven't got the final figure yet, but I think it's not far off £1,000. So Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Miriam, for putting such hard work into that. We really appreciate what you did. And thank God for that abundance going into the Youth Cafe. Got a lot of young people excited about getting involved in the Youth Cafe and coming here after school and getting milkshakes and smoothies. So if you want to help volunteer with that, please do speak to me. I'd be more than glad to take you on as a volunteer and see the young people come to know the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. We want this town to be touched by Jesus Christ. So we thank God for that. I haven't even checked the announcements. You have to forgive me. What have we got coming up for? We've got prayer. This coming Friday is half night of prayer. Come and join us. We have awesome times here, don't we? Half night of prayer, Friday night. I think it's, is it half past eight? 8:30 here. We're going to worship the Lord together, pray for the needs, pray for the town, pray for whatever we need to pray for. Come and join us this Friday. Put it in your diary. Put it as a reminder. Don't miss. Jesus said, my house will be house of prayer. Amen. So come and join us for prayer. We got a Good Friday joint service at Central Methodist on Good Friday, which is the 14th of April. It's 10 o'clock there. Then we're marching through the town. And then we've got a great outreach at the Buttercross. I'm giving out hot cross buns and ministering to the people at the Buttercross short service there. And then connecting with our community. So come and join us for Good Friday service. So I think that's really everything for now. So may God bless you and have a wonderful week in Jesus' name. Amen.